Question. Did anybody walk to church this morning? Anybody walk here? You walked here. You walked here. You walked here. Who? And you've walked here. Who's walked the furthest, do you reckon? Of who think? Do you think Kerry? Do you think you've walked more than Michael has? Michael Bray, yeah. You think Michael's walked further than you? Okay. How about you, Sarita? Do you think you've walked further than Michael? Oh, okay. What about you? Did you walk further than Michael, do you reckon? Don't know where he lives? Okay. I think you probably walked further than Michael. Yeah? Who thinks they've walked further than your whole family, Joe, Priscilla? You think? I think you get the prize. You get the prize for walking the furthest. But if we were to ask who in the whole world has been on the longest walk, who do you think that might be? Who do you think will have walked the longest walk, and how long and how far and how long did it take, do you think, the longest walk? Well, there was a man called Jean Béliveau, a Canadian businessman, and he went on a walk, began in the year 2000, to raise awareness for children who suffer from violence. Now, how far do you think he walked? Now, multiple choice quiz time. So, A, B, C, D, no prizes as always, except, prestige of being correct. How far do you think he walked? Do you think it was A, 6,600 miles? B, 26,600 miles? C, 46,600 miles? Or D, 196,000 miles. So, 6,000, 26,000, 46,000, what was that? That's the next question. You have to wait for that. Okay. Or 196,000 miles. Go on, take a guess. High, low, in between. Who thinks it was A? 6,000 miles, 6,600. Yes, no, nobody? 26,600 miles. We've got a few for 26,000 miles. Okay. Who thinks 46,000? We've got a few more. And who thinks it's 196,000 miles? Oh, quite a lot. Okay. The majority is wrong. His walk was for 46,600 miles. It's about 75,000 kilometers if you're all metric. Okay. And he set out from Montreal. He covered 46,600 miles. He walked through 64 countries. And how many pairs of shoes do you think he went through? Who thinks it's A, 19 pairs of shoes? He got through 19 pairs of shoes. Who thinks it's B, 29? C, 39? Or D, 49? How many thinks it's A, 29? Anyone? Yes? No? Not sure? Maybe? B, 19 was the first one. 29? Anyone for 29? Maybe one for 29? Who's for 39? Who thinks 39? Got a few more. And now 49. Who thinks he got through 49 pairs of shoes? It was 49 pairs of shoes he got through. Now, we did read in the Bible when the Israelites wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, their shoes did not wear out. So it just goes to show, new isn't always better than the old. Now, 46,000 miles, that's more than the circumference of the earth around the equator. So if you went to the equator and you started walking either east or west, and you could walk on water, because obviously it's not all land, and you went all the way around the earth at the equator, you would only cover 25,000 miles. So he walked the equivalent of all the way around the earth at the equator 1.8 times, nearly two full laps of the earth. Okay, here's the question Mark wants to know. How long do you think it took him? Okay, who thinks it's A, 18 months? 18 months to walk. B, 3 years. Who thinks it took him 3 years? C is 9 years. 9 years. We've got a few for 9 years. We haven't heard of the other options yet. D is 11 years. So 18 months, 3, 9, or 11 years. So who thinks he was a really fast walker in his super speedy, rubbishy shoes that had to be replaced? 18 months. Now, anyone for 3 years? 3 years? Anyone for 9 years? A few for 9 years? And he thinks it took him a wearying 11 years. It took him 11 years and 3 months. So well done, 11 years and 3 months to get back to Montreal in Canada. Now, walking or race walking is an Olympic sport. Who likes watching sports? Who likes watching sports and likes doing sports? Okay. So we haven't got many truly sporty people here. But race walking is an Olympic sport, and it's different from running. Do you know how it's different from running? Anyone know? Always got to have 1 foot on the ground. You know, yeah, you always got to have 1 foot on the ground. Now, when did race walking first appear in the Olympics, all you sports geniuses? Was it A, 1896 in Athens, B, 1904 in St. Louis, or St. Louis, I don't know how to pronounce it. St. Louis, is it? St. Louis. Is it C, 1948 in London, or D, 1956 Melbourne? So which Olympics? A, 1896, B, 1904, C, 1948, or D, 1956? So who thinks it's really, really old, 1896? Who thinks 1904? St. Louis. You think 1904? 1948, London. Okay? It's probably just people like, you know, queuing for the bus and deciding, oh, I'm going to walk. And suddenly they found themselves at the Olympics. And no, it wasn't. And then 1956, Melbourne. You think 1956? St. Louis is where race walking first appeared. And then from the following Olympics in 1908, it became an official Olympic event. So a few more. How fast do you and I, ordinary average people, walk? How fast do we walk? Typically, people, not athletes, not Olympians, you know, in a race. How fast do we normally walk?
3 miles.
Average. If you let me, you know. Is it A? Thank you, Keith. 2.8 miles per hour. B, like Keith, 3 miles an hour. C, 3.4. Or D, 3.8 miles an hour. What's the fastest average walking speed? Keith thinks it's 3, obviously. So let's go from 2.8 to 3.8. Who thinks it's the lowest, 2.8? What a few. Okay. Who thinks it's 3? Keith does, obviously. Who thinks it's 3.4? Okay. And who thinks it's 3.8? Well, the answer is not that simple because it varies according to age. But according to the statistics I have, the fastest average walking speed is in the age group 20 to 29 years. And anybody younger than 20 obviously just runs everywhere because there's no figures for them. Runs or crawls. The average walking speed is 3 miles an hour. 3 miles an hour on average. And then it kind of goes down to about 2.7 when people are over 60 years old, at which point they realize there's no need to rush. And so they just decide they're going to enjoy themselves and just take it nice and slowly. Now, how fast in comparison, you know, you and I, we will walk typically at 3 miles an hour. How fast do Olympic walkers go? You know, those. I won't do the walk. But how fast do they go? Is it A, 5 miles an hour? Is it B, 7 miles an hour? Is it C, 9 miles an hour? Or D, 11 miles an hour. So what do you think? A, who wants A, 5 miles an hour? Okay, yeah, that's faster than normal. Who thinks they go more than twice, 7 miles per hour? Who thinks it's 9 miles an hour, 3 times? Okay, and who thinks almost 4 times, but 11 miles an hour? How fast? Yeah, the correct answer is, well, Brian Pintado of Ecuador won the gold medal in the men's 20-kilometer race at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics at an average speed of 9.45 miles per hour. So I'm going to accept 9 as the correct answer for that. And he won gold. So he was the fastest over 20 kilometers at nearly 9.5 miles an hour. Gosh, I'm getting tired just talking about it. Now, walking is good for you. And we are told that we should go for a brisk walk. And a brisk walk is said to be healthy for us, all things considered. But how fast is a brisk walk? If a normal walk is, say, you know, on average 3 miles an hour, a brisk walk, is it 4? Is it 5? Is it 6? Or is it 7 miles an hour? Who thinks it's A, 4 miles an hour? Okay. Who thinks it's B, 5 miles per hour? Who thinks it's 6? It's 6 miles per hour, C. And who thinks it's even faster, that we should all be nipping out for a power walk at 7 miles per hour? Anyone? No, I think we're all exhausted by now. A brisk walk, what the health experts recommend, is to get up to 4 miles an hour. So if you can get up to 4 miles per hour, that's considered to be a brisk walk. Now, that's all very interesting, but what does the Bible have to say about walking? Okay, I admit that wasn't perhaps very interesting, but the important thing is, what does the Bible say? Now, I'd like you to finish the following sentence. Again, it's multiple choice. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what with one another? Don't shout it out. Is it A, solidarity? Is it B, sandwiches? Is it C, friendship? Or is it D, fellowship? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Who thinks it's A, solidarity? Who wishes it would be B, sandwiches? Yeah, thought so, thank you. Who thinks it's C, friendship? Okay, and who thinks it's D, fellowship? Certainly in the English Standard Version, it is fellowship. If we walk in the light as he, our Lord Jesus Christ, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, fellowship is something which goes beyond mere friendship. It speaks of covenant, it speaks of identity, it speaks of a sense of belonging which transcends mere friendship. Now, when it comes to walking, and the Bible actually has a lot to say about walking. For example, in John chapter 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Then he said this, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So we have this metaphor of life and light and darkness, but also of walking. And we're going to come back to that in a little bit. Because in the New Testament, we see in several places the repeated encouragement or the admonition or the instruction for how we are to walk. Now, obviously, this has got nothing to do with power walking or speed walking or brisk walking or Olympic walking. It's not talking about exercise that's good for the heart and the lungs and the cardiovascular system and the muscles and the whole body. God obviously is concerned about our physical health and our bodies, but when the Bible's talking about how we walk, it's using the idea of walking as a metaphor to describe how we live. Now, for example, in Acts we read, "The church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the church multiplied." So walking, meaning a continual active activity. In the rest of the New Testament, we see so many other ways we are to walk. We are to walk by the Spirit, we are told in Galatians. Walk in newness of life in Romans. To walk in love in Ephesians. To walk in a manner worthy of the Lord in Colossians. To walk in Jesus Christ, again in Colossians, to walk in wisdom, to walk in the light, to walk in the truth. And in 2 Corinthians, we are told, we are reminded that we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, if we took that literally, we'd actually be walking around with our eyes shut or with a blindfold, bumping into one another and things. But of course, it's a metaphor of how we are to live our lives. And in Ephesians, we read this. We are God's workmanship, his works of art. Each of us is a masterpiece created by God in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Well, how do you walk in your work? Well, it's a picture. It's a metaphor. And it describes a certain manner of life and a manner of conduct and attitudes and beliefs, which are, you know, just summed up in this expression of walking. Now, in the rest of the Bible, in particular in the New Testament, we find other metaphors. They talk about abiding or remaining in Christ. It talks about being the army of God and fighting the good fight. It talks about running the race. It talks about sheep obediently following a shepherd. Another powerful metaphor is about sowing and reaping and harvesting, with the land or the soil being productive. Another powerful metaphor that describes us is as a plant, such as an olive tree or a vine, which is producing or bearing fruit. Another picture is that of a building, of, you know, the house that's built on the rock, on a solid foundation, being built up, or a body being built up and growing in the sense of development and growth and becoming strong and mature, and for us continually abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, these are all action words. These are all doing words, and they speak of a continuing or ongoing action and activity. But there is much that we do, and much that we think about, and much that we celebrate and worship, and we read about in our worship songs, that we in our prayers, and we celebrate and we are thankful for, which talk about statics but not dynamics. There is much truth in the static facts of faith. For example, the fact that we've been elected by God, that we've been redeemed by God, that we've been adopted by God into his family, and we now have this identity as God's children, his sons and daughters, brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ. We sing hymns, or we used to sing hymns such as, "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven." And these are powerful, powerful truths. And we should not forget them, and we should continue to hold on to them. But what these are, these point to what God has done for us in the past. And they are true, and they remain true to this day. And we mustn't forget what God has done for us in the past. But there is another element, and this is a preacher I used to hear, an American preacher I used to hear on the radio years and years ago, called J. Vernon McGee. And he used to use the phrase, he says, "This is where the rubber hits the road. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is where we get down to the nitty gritty. This is where, this is where, you know, crunch time. This is decision time. This is where it becomes powerful and relevant to us." Because where the rubber hits the road is not so much the static facts of faith of what God has done for us in the past, but it's the dynamics of our everyday faith. And rather than pointing always at what God has done for us in the past, I believe God is pointing at what he wants us to be doing in the present and in the future. And if we just celebrate what God has done, and if we give him worship for what he has done, and we tell others about what God has done, we are only responding to part of who God is and what God has done and who we are in this relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. But we are missing an important and significant part, and that is what God wants from us. Do you remember I said, you know, there are works, good works that have been prepared for in advance for us to do, and that we should walk in them. And this is what it means to be a disciple. This is what it means to be a servant of Jesus. This is what it means to be a son or a daughter in the kingdom of God, and that we should be about our Father's business. His business is the kingdom. The kingdom is healing, saving, delivering, and transforming lives in the name of Jesus. So whether you walk fast or walk slow, whether you can walk nearly twice around the circumference of the earth, or whether you can barely, you know, get out of the door because of frailty or infirmity or for whatever, how is your walk with the Lord? And the encouragement is to walk worthy. Walk worthy of the one who has called us. To walk in the truth. And it's not a commandment so much as it's an invitation. are what he has done for us. But it's time to move from the static facts, the fixed facts, to move on to the dynamic outworking of our faith as we walk and continue to walk. There's a quotation, and I found it late last night, and I haven't included it in my notes. See if I can remember it. And it's about walking in the Spirit. And basically it says, we walk in the Spirit, it's an unpredictable path, it's an unpredictable journey. But life is always an unpredictable path, and life is always an unpredictable journey. But the quotation was this: the Spirit walk is an unpredictable journey, but with predictable steps. If every day we walk with Jesus, if every day we walk in the light, if every day we walk in the Spirit, if every day we open our hearts and minds to the Word and the Spirit of God, and we just have enough light for the step that we're on, and we take that step faithfully, then we will find in years to come, as we look back, that while now we look forward and the whole journey is unpredictable, we know for today how we should walk. And if we can let go of the anxieties and the uncertainties of the future and just walk in the light that we have for today, to be faithful to the revelation that we've had for today, to be obedient to the call that is on us for today, then we will find at the end of time that we have been faithful through not just the predictable steps, but through the whole unpredictable journey of life, and that God's Spirit has been with us every step of our walk. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask Mark to come up and to just